Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We are a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday morning worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Good morning. I pray you all had a great Thanksgiving and you overate. It's good to see Miss Ann. I God bless you for being here. Went to see her while she was in the hospital, and she was just a few days before Thanksgiving. I said, "Well, I guess you're going to miss out on college this year." She said, "That's not going to happen." God bless. Yeah, she does. She does. Listen, if you see some glitter on me, listen, I've had enough comments, I won't say compliments, saying that I'm sparkling today, okay? It got into some glitter somewhere, so if I'm sparkling or something, you know, that's just my personality. It's just, and I don't want any comments about Johnny Cash when you leave either, okay? I've heard that enough too, all right? Somebody left a present up here. It's to me. It's from Kim. Well, thank you, sweetie. Wow. You know, I have been wanting a one of those skill saws, battery operated ones. This is not it. You got a pack of batteries. Well, why you get me this, Kim? I need them. Well, you're right. I did need some batteries. I did need these AAA batteries. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, sometimes you get things what you need rather than just what you want, right? You ever get that? Sometimes you get something that you need and not just what you want. There's a 70s song that says that too, and I'm not going to sing it, but I kind of get hung up on those things. But I want you to think about that today as we hear from God, hopefully, that sometimes what we wanted in the birth of Jesus was not necessarily what God brought, okay? He had a bigger purpose than just what it was that we were looking for, some cuddly little baby in a manger. There was more to it than that. So just keep that in mind, I pray, as we go through this. We got two verses today. You see that, and I was in Sunday school class, and somebody says, "Is that a mistake?" Don't let two verses fool you or give you some false hope. As I think some of my classmates had in class this morning. We begin the Advent season today, okay? It's just the first day of Advent. And anyone know what the word Advent means? Very good. The coming. It's an expected coming. Something spectacular that's coming, actually. And so what is coming? That's the question that we need to ask, I think, this morning. What's coming? What's on the way? And I pray as we go into this season of celebration that we see that more is coming than maybe what we have expected, okay? So at any rate, and this is what we're going to be looking at as we begin, I guess, a few, I won't call it a series of messages on Christmas, because there's nothing going to be a serial about it. It'll just be whatever God leads me to speak about. And He dealt with me very difficultly, I guess, this week on talking about this particular passage, you know. So we look at this and ask the question, what is this Christmas season supposed to mean anyway? We begin the season, I believe, from the beginning. And that's trying to understand why Jesus came and why He came into the world when He came into the world. Those important questions, I think. And we are certainly fascinated with the baby Jesus and the meaning of Christmas, and there's no doubt that this meaning of Christmas has become something that is what it was never intended to be. I mean, you and I know that. And not just in the secular world, but in the Christian world also. It's much different than it was ever intended, even from our faith. And this reason is that so many Christians don't even know what the Bible says, or how to read it, or to understand what they're reading when they look into it. Many will say, I don't understand the Bible. I don't understand what it's trying to tell me. You ever had that problem? You're reading, just have some difficulty with it. And in fact, the whole book, the Bible, is a book about Jesus. Now, if you'll go into it that way, it'll be much more understanding to you. The whole Bible is a book about Jesus. And let me just give you an example, kind of the breakdown as to what the Bible is all about. In the Old Testament, Jesus was predicted. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is revealed. In the book of Acts, we see that Jesus is preached about. In the epistles, and that's not the wives of the apostles. The epistles are the letters. And we see that Jesus is explained. In the book of Revelation, we see that Jesus is expected. So you can see the Bible is a book about Jesus. Now, we can look at the Old and New Testaments as a person watching maybe a good movie. You ever watch a good movie? You ever come into a movie halfway? You come into it halfway, and you sit down if you're in the theater with somebody or even at their house, and you're sitting, you've watched the whole movie, and somebody comes in halfway, and what are they doing? They're asking questions. What happened there? Where did she come from? I don't know who that person is over there. And you're kind of like, will you be quiet? I'm trying to watch the movie. Or if you come in and you've seen half of it and you got to leave early. And so the next thing that happens, you're going to get a call that night that says, what happened at the end? Did he kill her? Did all this happen, you know? So it's like, why don't you just watch the movie yourself? And that's kind of like reading the Bible is too. If you just focus on the New Testament, you're going to see what you think who Jesus is, but you're not going to understand some things. You're not going to understand how he was predicted and what the law meant and what the rituals and all the sacrifices took place. And if you just read the Old Testament, you'll never understand how all those things have been fulfilled. So you've got to read it all. You've got to read it all. And you just say, this is just too big a book, Steve. Well, it's the most wonderful book ever written. Most people read the Bible and also is preached. The Bible is preached and just grabbing pieces from here and there, from all over the place, and try to make a story out of it. A story that they want to share with you, one that they want to reveal. It's never about what God has orchestrated through the book and how He actually established it, but whatever ideas that I want to be able to share with you. The Bible is a very orderly book, and when we understand what the story is all about, then we can begin to make sense of it. I see myself sparkling up here already. Thank you, Chelly. Well, keep on. I'll wait. Here is the story in a nutshell. God from all eternity had decided that He would redeem man to Himself. The whole of the Bible is a plan of redemption. This is what it's about. This is what it is. You see Paul write this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 10. Listen to the words carefully. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious praise, which He has freely given us in the One's love. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to be put in effect. What does it say?
when the times will have reached their fulfillment. It would put in effect when the times had reached their fulfillment to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now this has been purposed by God from the very beginning of time. The Bible is the story, a story of redemption through a son. Now the reason that I want to bring this to you this morning is because the story of Christmas has become so distorted in that it's not the biblical view of what Christmas really is. Truth is, there was no celebration of Christmas in the church until about the 4th century. This was not even something that was done as we do it today. The beautiful story of the Nativity and Mary and Joseph and all the wonders of the shepherds and the angels have been distorted because we have left out many of the important pieces. I know some of you like to do puzzles, right? You like to do puzzles? Raise your hand. A few of you. A few of you are crazy. Okay. No, I'm not. See, puzzles are nice. They're nice. And I like the idea of putting a puzzle together. And I'll go get one from time to time, and I'll take that 1,000 pieces of little bitty mixed up things and dump it on the table and spend the next 3 hours putting something together that's about the size of a playing card. And I'm thinking, what? This is just too much work. This is way too much work. So I scrape it all and put it back in the box, put it on the shelf with a lot of other stuff that I thought I really would have liked to have done until I realized that they were too much work and effort also. Just a few Wednesday nights ago, I handed everybody a puzzle piece, remember? And I give you the little puzzle piece, and I asked you what was the picture that it was to be. And nobody guessed it right. Okay, nobody got it right. I don't know why you didn't get it right with your one little puzzle piece. The thing was, is that you can't know what it is because you don't see the bigger picture. You're just seeing pieces of it. You're just seeing very small pieces of it, actually. And if you could see the whole picture of it, and who is it that sees the whole picture? God sees the whole picture. He understands how all the pieces go together. And He understands what the story of this Christmas, this nativity, the birth of His Son, He understands how it's all put together and it's all written through this whole book. The reason we often look at the Christmas story in a particular way is because we're just looking at a few of the pieces. And we like to look at the wriggling little baby in the manger, right? And it's so cute. We think about it. We see the movies and the Christmas cards. Seeing Mary there with the halo over her head, right? You got Joseph there. He's standing around because he don't know what to do. And you got these animals. You know, they're all very quiet. They're not making animal noises or anything. They're just being like holy animals. And then you got these three other fellows show up sometime later. Some unlikely dudes show up on some camels with a sack full of gifts. You know, this is the story. Is that it? That was for effect. Thank you, Lord. I got some more good stuff. There's going to be some lightning in a minute, I have a feeling. But I wonder if this is all we see, you know, is this all we see in this story? We need more pieces of the puzzle in order to make sense of it. We're just looking at a small section of it here. And when this is all that we see, this story becomes really sentimentalized or even marginalized. We now see Christmas as being all about children. Or becomes a time to give to those folks that are always standing outside the stores with a pot. And to add to it, we spend way too much money on things that really nobody really needs, and then you end up paying for it for the rest of the year. And from there, we can't leave out the jolly old elf. How we got here, I don't know, and I heard a deer, and especially the one that's got some deformity, that his nose seems to glow while he's traveling around. How do we get here? We get here because we've left out parts of the puzzle. Well, Steve, you made your point. Where are the parts? Very well, I'll tell you. What the world has made of Christmas is that it's an appeal to your generosity by often making you feel guilty for all the things that you have. That's why we have Toys for Tots and Coats for Kids and Eradicating Wars and Help the Hungry. And listen to me, friends, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. They're wonderful. We should be generous. And if it takes this time of year to cause us to have our heart strings pulled in those directions, then we should do it. It's something we should do all year long, though. Christmas, listen to me, Christmas is not about an appeal. Christmas is about an announcement. That's what happened. It was the first group of shepherds that were out in the fields, and this guy comes along with a heavenly host, and he says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. An announcement. An announcement that what? An announcement that a Savior is born. A Savior. Now, if we start from there, we can unfold the story of Christmas. And so let me bring you to the passage that we're finally going to get to. And that's why it's only two verses, because if I'd had 20 verses, we'd have been unpacking this for a while, okay? So Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. If you'll read with me this. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of son. I read that to Kim this past week, and she said, oh, wow, that's a lot to think about in just two verses. And this is going to break down, I think, a lot of questions. The who, what, when, where, and whys that we have about so many things. And it may sound a little complicated to you, and you're thinking, why can't we just go back to Bethlehem, Steve, and leave this heady stuff alone? And I'll say, as Jesus said so many times, ye that have ears to hear, let him hear. I ask you to put your thinking caps on today as we deal with these verses somewhat. This is not an invitation for you to do anything, to give anything, to feel guilty about anything, but a declaration as to what God has done. That's what this is. We see in verse 4 a time factor of this declaration. When did Jesus come? When did He come, Steve? When did He come? When the time had fully come. That's when He came. When the time had fully come, that's when God sent His Son. And you mean to tell me that the time had fully come way back there in the first century when they didn't have cars and they didn't have TV, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have Facebook? You mean God didn't realize if He waited a few hundred years that we'd have had Facebook and we could have got the word out so much better than they could have back then? No, people that look at it, they say, yeah, the time had fully come because the Romans had conquered the world and they had developed all these road systems and it was able to travel and get the word out. Yeah, that sounds reasonable. And then we know that the Greeks had developed a language where everybody in the world, for the most part, spoke Greek and could write, and people were literate at this particular time. That makes good sense. That makes good sense. And I believe, though, the better reason is that the law of Moses had done the work of preparing men for Jesus. And I'm going to deal with this a little bit more in just a moment. But I want us to look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 23 and 25. So not just two verses, okay? Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to who? The law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by what? By faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Now I'm going to take just a minute to give you a plug for our study on Sunday night on the book of Galatians. I'm going to tell you this, friends. And you may not think so. You may have read the book and said it's not a big deal. I'm going to tell you, I think if you'll come to this, it'll be the most revealing study we've ever done at Grants Creek. If you will come. Because we're going to deal with this topic. in much more detail than I'll deal with it today. So at any rate, that's why I'm excited about the book of Galatians, and it's probably why that I'm using it to preach on today. But what we see here in this is this book, this understanding of this Galatians, this letter that Paul wrote, is concerning the law and the commandments and the freedom that we now have in Christ. You remember our last lesson in Galatians, our first one was titled Freedom. Okay. Now we might come to understand this. We have this first question answered, okay? This first question, when was the right moment? You know, it was when everything was in its time. And now we're going to look at the question as to, you know, what God did. What did He do? What did He do? Well, He sent. He sent who? He sent His Son. Now, He didn't send an idea. He didn't send a feeling. He didn't send a conviction. He didn't send an emotion. He didn't send another ritual. He sent His Son. The Father didn't send His Son also that was unwilling to go. His Son was willing and excited about going. He came with a purpose. Jesus came with a purpose. You know what the purpose was? It was to die. His purpose was to die. I know there's lots of purposes, but ultimately this is why. He came to become flesh so that He might die, or rather pay the penalty for my sin. Now you remember back in Genesis, God told Adam that if you sin, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. Exactly, Pat. He said, if you sin, you're going to die. The question of how, you know, born of a woman, he said, is what he's dealing with in this. But he said that the penalty for sin was to die. So Jesus came to pay the penalty for my sin. The question of how is born of a woman, born under the law, it says. Now we see here His humanity. He was born naturally through a woman. He was born naturally through a woman. He was conceived unnaturally, not in the normal way. Mary was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she became pregnant. God became flesh and had all the attributes of a human being, and at the same time keeping all the attributes of God, all of that. Hard for us to understand, but a human being, complete. Now, we can all understand this part about being born of woman, right? Everybody get that? I'm assuming all of you were born of woman. I hope so. See, Jesus had Mary's DNA in her and probably looked like her. Probably people looked at him and said, oh, you look just like your mom. And he dealt with all the things that you and I deal with. He had body aches. He had hurt feelings. He had hunger, he had thirst, he had fatigue. All the things that a human feels, he had them, just like us. But what about this born under law thing? Do you understand it? Now this is why it's important that you come to the Galatians study. Basically, Jesus is subject to the law. Now, every Jew in that time was subject to the law. Okay? He was subject to the law just like everyone else at that time. He had to obey the law, follow the rituals of the law, make the sacrifices of the law, obey the dietary rules of the law, visit Jerusalem and the temple at certain times of the year because of what the law said. Jesus did all of those things. He didn't neglect any of those things. He didn't neglect none of that just because He was Jesus. He did all of those things. Now this was necessary so that He could be seen as Jesus that had fulfilled all the precepts of the law to perfection, that He might be the perfect sacrifice for sin under law. So He had to obey these things perfectly. And nobody has ever lived on earth that kept all the Ten Commandments or all the Mosaic laws. Any of you here today have? If you have, you can leave because the rest of it's for us sinners. So when Jesus died on the cross, He took the penalty of the law and became a substitute for you and I. That's what He did. Just as the lamb was a substitute for the Jews, Jesus became the lamb without blemish, right? Without any sin. And in giving His life as a substitute, He redeemed you and me, or rather, He purchased us. He purchased us. He purchased me from my sin. So the next time you look into the Nativity, friends, And you see this wriggling little baby. Don't walk away thinking, what a warm and cuddly feeling I now have about Christmas. Yeah, I've seen the little baby Jesus. He's so cute. He's adorable. So Christmas is all about children. No, beloved. This is not what we should see when we look into the cradle. We should not see only that. When we look into the nativity, we should see one that is God that came to earth because of such a great love. That he knew that the only way that you and I would be able to stand in his presence is for the Son to pay the penalty for our sin. He had to be human. He had to be human. He had to do it this way. This season of Christmas is not just a time for you to feel more charitable. It's not just a time that you get to spend time with your family. It's not just a time that we give gifts and look for Santa Claus. It's not just a season that we eat, drink, and be merry. When we look into the nativity, we look down into the face of God himself. The face of God. The creator of all the universe, of all the things that exist. He's the Word. When we look in there, that's what we see, the beginning and the end. He is our advocate. He is our good shepherd. He's our high priest. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the truth. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. That's who's in the manger, not just a little innocent baby. And that's the one that we should bow down to when we come in his presence. I don't want to confuse you and bore you at this point, but I need to bring some understanding about this talk about the law. And that's why I said earlier that you shouldn't miss out on this Galatians study. But now, let me just read some of this, and I want you to go home and reread it. Will you do that for me while I'm getting ready to read? I want you to go home and reread it, because I won't have time to deal with it like I would at a Bible study. But Galatians chapter 3, I want to read verse 15 to 22. Got to go home and reread this, okay? Galatians 3:15, 22. Brothers, let's just take our time with it, okay? Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. Now listen carefully. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person who is in Christ. Now, he's talking about Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed would be that of Jesus, okay? Promises made. Don't forget these words. What I mean is this. The law introduced 430 years later. That was after Abraham died and Moses had taken the Israelites had been captive in 400 years. And after that time, they were taken out of Egypt and the law was then established by Moses. Does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the what? So what's important here? Which is important, the law or the promise? Okay. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. What then was the purpose of the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred, who's the seed, had come. The law was put into effect through angels by a mediator. A mediator, however, does not represent just one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not, he says. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin. So that what was promised being given through the faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who what? Believe. And what Paul was reminding these Galatian Christians is that God had made a promise to Abraham. He tells Abraham that all nations on the earth were going to be blessed through your seed. You and I are the nations of this earth. We've been blessed through his seed. There's no strings attached. No laws to obey. Just a promise. Just a promise. Now I want you to look at verse 17, back again. What I mean is this, the law introduced 430 years does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise forby. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on a promise. But God, in His grace, gave it to Abraham through a promise. Now we know that He gave the law to Moses, right? Am I right? So is the promise opposing the law? No, Paul says. It doesn't oppose the law. Because the law doesn't, but because the law doesn't impart life. The promise imparts life. The law doesn't impart life. When Jesus came, did He walk around being perfect human and obeying all the laws and then go up to people and say, listen, if you'll do like I'm doing, you obey all the laws and you do your very best and you try really, really hard. When I die and when you die, one day when I see you in heaven, maybe you've done well enough and then we'll let you in. Is that what the purpose of Him coming was for? Not at all. Or did He come to promise us something? Just as Abraham was promised. That the promises, He promises us that if we believe that He came as our substitute, that we would then be welcomed into heaven. Is that what He promised? Absolutely. That's what He promised. So you're asking yourself the question. I know you are in verse 19. What then was the purpose of the law, right? I mean, everybody asks that. I don't know how many times I get asked that. What's the purpose of the law then, preacher? The law was not given so that we could obey it perfectly and then be granted paradise. The law was given to expose the sin in our life. Most people get up and go about their day thinking that they're pretty good folks. Most people do. I've not killed anybody today. I've not stolen anything. I'm not too bad a guy. I'm thinking God's pretty okay with me. Right? Now, the law exposes that we're not all right with God. That's what the law does. It exposes something in our life. We're not all right with God as we are. The law shows that we are lost and broken and need someone which the angel said was sent. And who was the one that was sent? A Savior. Listen, if you don't know you're lost, you can never be saved. If you don't realize you're broken, you can never be fixed. And this is what bothers me, friends, and I know you love watching and listening to some of the preachers on TV, but there's some that are there that never mention the word sin, and they say that because I don't want people feeling bad about themselves. If you don't know you're a sinner, you can never be saved. Read Exodus 20. You won't read it very far before you realize that you're not as good as you think you are. The law exposes my sins, friends. The law condemns my sins. The promise given to Abraham is fulfilled in Christ. The law given to Moses was fulfilled perfectly in Christ. The law was given not to bestow salvation, listen to me, on men and women, but to convince men and women that they need salvation. Most folks don't go through their days thinking that they need a Savior. I don't know how about you, but I've never had people come up to me walking down the street and say, hey, I need saving. I need somebody to save me. Will you save me? You ever had that happen? I never go around asking that question myself. I don't go around asking anybody, look, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Well, I have asked people I was lost. Kim would like me to stop more often and ask about being lost, but I know where I'm at, Chris. Right? People don't do that. Why? Because they don't know that they don't understand this. And when people come to church and all that they ever hear is I have a promise for you. They're told that Jesus is your Savior and people are saying, well, big deal. I don't need a Savior. What do I need a Savior for? So we should do more often, I think, within the church, is to read the law of God. The law that was given to show that we're lost and that we're in need of a Savior. This is an announcement of Christmas here. that Jesus had taken the curse that was imposed on men for sin and carried it himself to the cross at Calvary. You can't understand Christmas unless you can understand Calvary, friends. You cannot. You're never going to get your head around it. You can't leave that portion out. So when we look into the manger, we can now see that the one that God has sent that will willingly bear my sins on a tree. Now here's the problem in the churches. We preach Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the answer, Jesus is the answer, and He is the answer, isn't He, right? But there's people that come to our church and they say, well, what's the question? I don't know what the question is. If He's the answer to my life, what's the question? Preachers, myself included, have been deficient in teaching from the law. Without teaching the law, people cannot recognize that they're lost and that they need a Savior. And that's why so many rejected Jesus when He came. The religious leaders didn't need a Savior. They were saving themselves. They were doing all the right things. They were obeying all the rules. They were making all the sacrifices. They were giving all the tithes. They were doing all these things. They didn't need a Savior. I know what you're thinking. This is the oddest Christmas sermon I've ever heard, preacher. And it may be. But I think it's necessary to establish this before we hear the rest of the tales. We got to get this piece of the puzzle. Because if we don't get this piece, we're going to miss the rest of it, okay? We need to know that what we're receiving as the gift from Jesus. I said it earlier. That's where I got the glitter, I think, from Kim. Don't know how to just wrap a present. She's got to put all this other stuff in it. She's frilly with it. And that's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. She makes beautiful presents. You ever get a present from her, it's gonna be all decked out, the halls and all that stuff, you know. When Kim and I first were married, I'd come home from work and the presents under the tree were wrapped beautifully, the ones to her. Now, I had wrapped them initially. My wrapping is just kind of tie the end and put it underneath there. But when I came back in there, they were wrapped differently than I had wrapped them. Now, I'm not a detective, but I think someone had taken a peek at the presents. Anyway, I said it earlier that we don't always receive what we want, but you get what you need. And this is what we've got in God, in Jesus, in this nativity, in this Christmas season. God knew exactly what we needed, and what we needed was not just a beautiful nativity set. We needed a Savior because we're lost, beloved, without Him. The Father knew this. The Father knew that we needed these things. The Father knew that we needed a Redeemer. We believe that we're okay in our merits. The Father knew that we needed to recognize that we're lost. So He gave us the law. And we ignore the law and believe that salvation lies within each of us. The Father knew that we were hopeless without His Son. So in an expression of His great love, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And He did this by coming to earth and taking on the form of a human, a baby. A baby born under shame, helpless and poor. When I look into the manger now, I don't just see the cute little cuddly baby. I see the God of the universe that is there before me, acting out His expression of love, coming for the sole purpose to redeem me, a sinner, lost without hope, needing a Savior. The gift He gave me is everlasting life. One of my favorite songs, and I'm finished, but one of my favorite songs of Christmas, I think, tells such a wonderful story about this is the song, Mary, Did You Know? Do you know it? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Let me sing the last verse because it tells it. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Amen. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for your promise. I thank you for you giving what we need and not just necessarily what we want. You sent a Redeemer, a Savior. For without you, God, without this announcement, we are lost and we have no hope. Thank you, O Father, for your Son. It's His name I pray. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.